Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. We got, I got a story to start the show with. A buddy of mine was out the other night and actually hanging out with Deshaun for about 2 or 3 hours the other night. And he said, he didn't want to bother him about all the stuff going on and whatnot, but they were hanging out. Deshaun was with his buddies there, and one of my buddies was there at the table next to him, and they all started drinking together, and they hung out pretty late, as a matter of fact. And he said, the only thing I asked Deshaun is I asked him, are you happy here? And Deshaun took a second or two, and then he finally said, no, I'm not. And he said, well, I guess that decides that. I guess, you know, happiness, I would imagine that's high on the priority list. I would imagine this organization makes it awfully difficult for a star player to be happy.
Andre Johnson signed J.J. Watt.
Signed Arian Foster.
Signed Arian Foster signed. I think Arian was going to naturally be miserable.
Yeah, Arian was such a strange dude. I mean, did you see Arian?
Arian doesn't like football.
No, he doesn't like football. He's not a football fan.
I mean, so this
he
was,
said he has. He was on an interview the other day, asked about it, the whole thing, and he said, I don't know. I don't watch any football. I don't know.
Yeah. Arian, he has opinions, but he doesn't watch it. But, yeah, Arian didn't like football. He admitted he didn't like football.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my son Drake brought a bunch of clothes and stuff over to Arian Abdul Foster's workout place, Arian's brother. They were supposed to go to Port Arthur during the hurricane and Harvey. And Drake said, you know, sorry, I don't really know you that well. I introduced him. He goes, sorry, I don't really know you that well. He goes, sorry, I don't watch that much football. I'm more of an MMA guy. And he goes, I don't watch it either, so don't worry about it. I don't care about it either. And that's who he was. Yeah. So I think he was going to be miserable anyway. But J.J. loves it. Andre loved it. I think Deshaun loves it. And they don't love being here. And it's because they've never really had that great culture. They haven't had that. I think Gary Kubiak was probably the best overall person slash coach that they had. But even he and Rick had some, you know, towards the end, they kind of had a falling out.
Well, the best
out.
Person was Dom Capers. Well, yeah. Dom couldn't have been a nicer
right.
person.
Person coach.
I
think Dom was fine.
Gary Kubiak's a great guy, too. Gary Kubiak is a very nice guy. Kubiak is a very nice guy. He had some issues with me because of some of the questions that I asked him. So, as a matter of fact, he told Steve McKinney, hey, get Granato off my ass, will you, about you playing.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, because every time. Hey, so who's your starting guards? Or who's your center? And they're all starters, you know. Now, come on, no, they're not. Yeah. No, they're really not.
Yeah.
And so he finally told McKinney, "Get him off my ass." So, as far as and Bill O'Brien's at top of the list as far as nice guys.
Oh, sweetheart.
Oh yeah, no.
Great guy.
No, everybody loves
people.
Him.
Penn State loved them.
Everybody
loves
him.
Loved
everybody
him.
Loves him.
Everyone loves him.
Yeah, it's not my
goes.
Job to do that.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is your job to be a nice guy. Yeah, it is. It
kind of
is.
My job to do that.
Well, he's perfect for Alabama now. Bunch of a-hole coaches.
So did Deshaun come off as a really friendly, nice guy when he was all happy about being in the city for the Texans?
No, not really. They said Deshaun is very quiet and he's not very engaging. He's not very engaging. He said all his buddies were awesome. They had a great time laughing and having.
Surprises me a little bit, to be honest with you, but not that he's not happy. I think what we have to get used to here, and what I was told yesterday, is that this isn't a ploy or a tactic to make management uncomfortable so he gets his head coach. What you're hearing from Mortensen and I think it's Chris Mortensen had the report is accurate that it really doesn't matter who the head coach is. And the Texans, you know, it's funny. That I was told yesterday the Texans, it's 100% going to be a black head coach, that they want to do that. And then when I told somebody who is a friend of mine who's black, he goes, that's just so disingenuous. He goes, they need to just hire the best black or white candidate or whoever, because he said they're going to lose all black fans anyway. He said, I can tell you this, I'm done with them for, he goes, now the Hispanic fan base is ride or die. They're going to stick around. White fans will probably still like him. He said, I can just tell you this. You can look for the black fans to completely be done with the Texans. And that's the exact opposite of what, I mean, I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine how badly over the last three, it was teetering on the brink with a lot of the trades they were making previously. Like they weren't running it well, but it wasn't, I can't believe how they've got this to laughing stock status. And now Deshaun Watson legitimately wants out. This is not a power play to get Eric Bieniemy. I don't think it's going to matter. You better hire the guy that you think is the best coach right now. If you think Daboll's the guy, you better bring his ass in and get him interviewed, because I don't think your quarterback is staying regardless of who you hire. So don't hire somebody for your quarterback. Now, of course, he can't just go. The Texans decide.
Yeah. No. Listen, it's going to be difficult. Transition. It'll be a difficult negotiations with another team. What are you going to get in return for a guy that they know that doesn't want to be there and may not even show up?
You need multiple teams fighting. That's why it's good to have the Dolphins and Jets both fighting.
Yeah.
For him, because this has to be a block. You have to make them hurt on this deal.
Yeah.
Whoever the team.
And it's kind of smart of his agent, Mulgetty.
Yeah.
To be putting it out there that he David likes Mulgetty, the Jets. Yeah. Bugatti. I don't know.
Something like that.
Mulgetta. Yeah. Whatever his name is. It's kind of good that he needs to leak out other teams. He needs to add Atlanta to the list. He needs to add, no, Detroit, nobody's going to want that. But he needs to be adding other teams to make it doable for the Texans, because if there's just one team or two teams on the list, then it's going to be awfully difficult for the Texans to get exactly what they need. And according to thoughts, it's, you know, three firsts. Well, we'll see if that happens.
Why do you think this is Mulgetta, not the Texans, saying, hey, Deshaun really likes the Jets? Because you know what they get if people believe he really likes the Jets?
No, I've heard Mulgetta wants him in New York
does Deshaun want to be in New York?
Well, I don't know. I don't. Deshaun doesn't. I'll wait for him to wrap
because it does.
I don't know.
That particular leak does the Texans favors, because you have two teams allegedly in the AFC East who want him, and do they want to allow the other team to get him? And maybe that drives up a bidding war. I just don't see the benefit of for Deshaun if the team he wants to go to has to give up picks and picks and picks to get him.
Right. Oh, no. There's no.
Well,
there's,
I don't think the Texans should worry about.
Well, here's the deal, though. The Texans won't do a deal unless it's very attractive.
Oh, I know what they believe is their leverage. But if you're Deshaun, you don't tell multiple teams. You don't tell the world that you're into multiple teams, because you want to go to a place that's going to have assets to play with.
Nobody's going to have assets to play with once this happens.
Well, I'm not suggesting the Texans won't get a lot. But it does nothing if you're Deshaun's agent. How does it help your?
Yeah,
client?
I don't understand that. Well, because his agent's going to worry about money.
Yeah, it creates
he has
a market.
More he marketing. Has he has more marketing opportunities in New York. The agent would make the value of Deshaun Watson in New York would rise exponentially and put more money in the agent's pocket. Would Deshaun win more? No, and you're right. It would hurt. The Jets don't have as many picks as like the Dolphins. It would hurt. It's not a good place to go win. I think Deshaun would potentially be miserable after a couple of years if he's truly about winning. Because if you take away all those picks from the Jets, who are very roster poor, they're in the same like your Dell's point is, but you're going to be a bad team if you lose all your picks. Oh yeah, that's right. But I think the agent would love to have him there, because that's more money in the agent's pocket. The agent's already getting paid on the contract.
Yeah,
that's done. To him, he wants. I think their side would love to have Deshaun in New York. As far as Watson, I think Miami makes more sense.
Yeah, and that's. I was listening to Charlie yesterday. He said how disingenuous it would be of Deshaun to say, "I just want to win and go to Miami." think Miami's close to winning.
Well, I would say New York would be the answer.
No,
did you sure Charlie didn't mean
New York?
No, he said New
York and Miami. And I said, I'm thinking, I think you can win with a Deshaun in Miami.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Sure, get a couple, maybe get another, a good receiver. You need to bring Will Fuller along.
Absolutely.
What kind of money do they have? What kind of, they got plenty of free agency money? So, I mean, they could definitely bolster a roster. They've got picks. They could even give up picks and still have picks. That's they got so many picks.
Yeah,
so
they're the rare case of being able to give away a bunch of picks and still be fine.
Yeah.
And my guess is, if I'm the Texans, what I would do is ask for two firsts, Xavien Howard. I would try to get two players, because I know Xavien wants to get paid, and Dell laid it out yesterday.
Well, what about Tua?
I would want two firsts. I would probably want Tua thrown in there. Yeah. But if it was a matter of they wanted, you know, to short-term me on the picks, I'd go, nah. I mean, I want at least two firsts. Okay, two firsts, Tua, Xavien Howard, and a second.
Yeah.
And I actually think that the Dolphins would consider that. They would fight back against it, but, you know, it's going to be a lot harder just to trick the Texans than it used to be.
Yeah, listen.
Can you imagine O'Brien doing this deal and getting two firsts for Deshaun?
Oh, my God.
In the 20s somewhere?
No, please.
We got two San Francisco first-rounders. Oh. What?
Oh, no. Please, don't even say that. Him doing this Deshaun deal. Goodness gracious. He'd just get his picks back from Miami, and that'd be it.
All right, what?
So you basically would have traded Tunsil for Deshaun. Well done, Bill O'Brien.
I know.
Well played.
Thank God he's at Alabama recruiting five stars now. Can you imagine him sitting in people's homes?
Oh.
Screaming at parents
listen,
and whatnot?
What about the parents sitting across from him? Why did you do that DeAndre trade? I mean,
that wasn't me. That was Jack Easterby. And Jack's like, that's not me. That's him.
Yeah.
That was Bill O'Brien. Yeah. I should have fought harder against him.
I got tweeted some Easterby sound. And let's talk about it on the other side.
Actually kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting. And
yeah,
this says it's a, you know, it's this, that it's the Armageddon of the Texans. And I'm not sure that that's the case. I'm really not.
No, it's actually a look into how a lot of teams operate in terms of how to,
yeah.
I mean, the character coach idea, it's really a lot of times about trying to get a read on who draft picks are too.
Yeah.
And how people are psychologically. So this is actually not as crazy as people will make. But I think it's interesting. We don't hear Jack talk much.
No. I'll send it over to you, Dell. And if you don't have it, I don't know if you were included on it. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
Hey, guys, Generator Supercenter. So, you know, before you know it seems like we're always in the middle of hurricane season. Once it jumps up on us, it's a problem. And the warm water always makes is we're getting more and more category fours and trending into category fives. And it's just when that happens, we have tremendous winds, we have tremendous rain, and we have tremendous problems with our electricity because it can stay off for a long time. I know in my neighborhood, it stayed off for a long time during Ike. My street was very lucky because we got turned on the grid very, very early because of somebody who needed some life support type stuff. But, man, Generator Supercenter, they give you a chance to get the Generac automatic standby generator. And that's the nation's number one Generac generator dealer right here in Houston. The nation's number one. You can get a free estimate. You can get low monthly payments because financing is available. What that means is when your electricity goes off, it comes right back on. And you have peace of mind like never before. This is something that you should have at your home here in the Gulf Coast. You 100%. Should have a generator, and you should get it from Generator Supercenter. They have the best options available for you, and they're a phone call away, 281-377-9774. That's 281-377-9774. That's Generator Supercenter.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 716, ESPN 97.5. So, Rivers McCown tweeted this out. this audio. This is Jack Easterby doing an interview while he was with the New England Patriots. He was the director of team development for the New England Patriots. And he's talking about when he was at South Carolina trying to find out about a young basketball player and how much he enjoyed playing basketball. What kind of and it's interesting to see how Jack Easterby works and how you'll see for yourself. And we'll talk about it afterwards. Here's Jack Easterby a few years ago with the Patriots talking about when he was at South Carolina.
We got Max Schulman sitting in front of me, and I'm going to try to figure out whether he likes basketball, whether he really loves basketball, or whether he's just doing this.
Yeah, okay? So what are you going to ask?
So Max sits in front of me, and he sits down in the chair. I say, hey, Max, how you doing? Man, I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Good, good. All right, great. What you been up to? What you been doing recently? All right, and off the bat, I'm going to look for how many times he's mentioned the word basketball in that sentence. Okay, so I'm not really going to ask him a cheesy question that says, do you like basketball? Because he can set me up with a bunch of, you know, fake answers that he can, you know, just check the box with on that.
Yes,
I'm looking for what have you been doing over the last 3 or 4 weeks? What have you been doing in your training? How much is your life adapted around basketball? How much do you make time for basketball? I'm looking for him to share his schedule with me so he can show me how much he loves basketball. So let's say he says, you know, hey, well, I've been shooting at the gym, and you know, I've been working out and doing some things. And my follow up question was, well, who's been with you? Been with you? Are they better than you? Do you think they're better than you? And then if he says to me, nah, ain't nobody better than me, then off the bat, I'm going to know that his desire to be the best in his group is good enough for him. So now I've established that he kind of likes basketball because he's practicing on his own, but he's hanging out with people that are just as good or worse than him. And he doesn't really want to go get challenged and get exposed. So now I've got, on the first two questions, I've already got the fact that basketball is medium to high importance of him. And then on top of that, I've got the fact that he's probably not in a position where he's willing to be vulnerable, because we don't know in the big picture whether or not he even knows what it's like to be challenged and be exposed when he's in a, you know, in a position like this. So that's how I would start.
All right. Well, Rivers McCown tweets out, you know, this is yet another example of the generational intellect that has the Texans on the verge of destroying themselves forever. I would disagree. My daughter is a psychologist, mm-hmm. and I would think, and asking her, I will ask her about this, and she would probably say, no, he's going about it probably the right way. Mm-hmm. That's probably the way that you would want to do it. You look for words that they use, you know, he was looking for, he wanted to see how often he said basketball.
That's not often. That. I get that we like to take our shots at Jack.
And yeah.
He's an easy target. This one is not like, this has been going on. I had a chance to sit in with the Texans. This is years ago, and I didn't even realize how fortunate I was. In 2000 and like, at the Combine, 2004 maybe, with Danny Arnold with the Texans. And so I sat in on some of their psychological testing and some of their some of you are going to think this is just lunacy, but they did things like, and this is the Texans, remember, the first iteration. I sat in a hotel room with Danny Arnold, just staying quiet. We were working at 610. I had a football newsletter, but did not have the profile of doing draft stuff or whatever. So I'm in there with Danny. Danny knew the people. And Danny's a local trainer who had trained a lot of – he was training a lot of football players at the time. And we're in there, and whoever's running the Texans guy, it's not – it's like an outside person. I don't know who this person was. And they're making the person – there's hand-eye coordination stuff. They would drop something off the side of a table, and they'd have to catch it while looking forward. So they're checking that. They have to wear these blurred glasses. And they would have to throw a trash a beanbag into a trash can, but what it was checking is how they would make adjustments and alterations, because these glasses alter your vision. So you would have to, with every miss, you would have to readjust how you
They're
see
called
it.
Beer goggles. We got some for Christmas, and we were trying to do stuff with it. You know,
it's basically that's probably what it is. Yeah. It's probably the same thing, and then they call them beer goggles and sell these to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's basically what it was. And then they had puzzles where they would do a puzzle with these different pieces, and then they would turn it around for you to do one. It's like neurological testing. And then they would ask different questions. And it was actually very – I had never heard of anything. I'd heard about the Giants really long, but it was very interesting. But I got to talk to a guy named Brian Decker, who was a special ops. The Colts hired him from the Browns. And Decker was the special ops interrogator slash interviewer. Interrogator when they needed to get information, and interviewer when they needed information, but in a more friendly way. You know what I mean? And when I talk about waterboarding or stuff like that. But I got a chance to talk to Brian for probably an hour. It was one of the most interesting conversations. And he was telling me about, first of all, the differences between how a room is set up if you want to convey friendliness and safeness, and how it's set up if you want to intimidate and things like that. The circular table, and I think this is known in some business circles, the circular table is welcome, it's equal. It's, you do that if you want people to feel like they're on your level, if you want them to feel comfortable right away. Different tables, rectangular tables, where you sit on one side and they sit across, that's a power move and a power play. Different countries, you can get close, you stay away. And so he was giving me all this. Well, we started talking about, I said, how do you figure out players, though? What do you do to figure out players? And I don't want to give away all his secrets, but he said, well, first of all, we're not trying to, he goes, there's not a wrong answer. We just want to know. He said, some guys like to try to hide the fact if they have a kid, you know, out of wedlock or whatever. He goes, hey, having a child is a great, you know, we just care if you're a good dad. He said, that's not going to kill. We just want you to be honest about everything in your life. And we want to find out who you are and do you love football. And so he'll ask questions that are meant to garner not only if they love football, but what kind of people they are. I said, Brian, it's got to be, you got to love it when you get a guy who has got military parent background, because we run into those players all the time where they come from a dad and a mom who are both in the military. And Brian said, actually, and this, you're going to recognize this. He said, actually, that sometimes is the hardest. That's the one that's the trickiest one, because a lot of times they're not the best ones, because they've had everything, all their discipline has been put on them their whole lives. They've just followed a regimen, but they didn't self-discipline. And so it's almost like, he said, you know, the old Catholic schoolgirl thing that once you get outside of it, you kind of lose. He said, you'd be surprised how many guys who've been inside that system where it's been done for them their entire lives with their parents. He said, once they get away from that, like the Marv Marinovich thing with Todd Marinovich, he said, they completely lose it. He said, the ability to self-discipline and to overcome adversity. They love guys who have overcome adversity in their lives, in their neighborhoods, with family, because they're more likely, when things get tough, they're more likely to be able to buckle down and make
and do it themselves.
And it's an amazing to talk to. And so what I see with Jack doing, that doesn't offend me.
No,
that doesn't,
not at all. This is the kind of thing, and as a matter of fact, Zoe asked my daughter, he said, I want you to come into the combine with us, and I want you to look for phrases and stuff like that. And she was going to put together a whole thing. He couldn't get it through Ted Thompson. He couldn't get it done through Ted Thompson. But this was one of Zoe's ideas, was to have a psychologist in there to look for these kind of things.
Oh yeah.
I heard the two of them talking. We were all were talking together, and she said some of the stuff about this that Jack was doing right here.
It's big.
So I'm not. Yeah, no, it's
that one doesn't bother me.
That doesn't bother me in the least. And as a matter of fact, I think it's good that you find out how much a guy, he's trying to find out how much a guy loves it.
And he might be pretty good at that.
Yeah, he might.
You know what he's not good at? Making trades, evaluating contract
That's
amounts.
That's exactly right.
That's my whole problem is if Jack stays in his lane, then we don't have problems. But he got out of his lane so fast because he climbed so fast. And I think this is where being a climber, it's good to have ambition. It's not good not to understand your level of, what is it called? It's the Peter principle, right? That's what this is, is what we saw with Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby. It is a classic example of guys who, they made it to the level of their capability, and once they got beyond, it was a disaster. Just stay in your lane, Jack, and all this would have been fine. You'd still be here. You'd be, you know, we wouldn't have had an issue. Right. If you had just stayed in your lane, but he didn't, and now it's on for life.
Yep. No,
I mean,
no.
I don't think he's going to be a target. And then if and when Deshaun leaves, you can rebuild the team faster, but you got to figure out quarterback. I finished Justin Fields. Justin Fields, I do not think is going to be a target. by the Texans, even if they're two or three. I could be wrong. But I and to me, Zach Wilson is a real boom or bust candidate. I think the guy that's the most interesting is Trey Lance because he's super smart. He's only played 1 year at North Dakota State. This guy already knows protections like he's an NFL quarterback. They make him learn. Like, he is the smartest guy. He's 6'4", 220. He's athletic. He's got a good arm, but he's only got 1 year at North Dakota State. I mean, how long is that going to take? Two years?
How much is Carson Wentz killing him right now?
Yeah, I don't know. Carson Wentz started off pretty good. This kid's got 1 year, though. I don't think Carson will kill him. I think the fact that he's played 1 year of football, and in the one game he played this year, wasn't that great. I mean, you know, you can't kill somebody off of 1 year in a pandemic year.
Yeah, right.
But I don't, I'm just telling you, I've heard this talk. This is a year for elite quarterbacks, man. This is not a great year to need quarterback. That's the problem. If you move to Sean, I would rather get a quarterback back and then a bunch of draft picks. That's what I'd rather get.
Yep. Yep. At 728 ESPN.
And then trade them all for Carson Wentz.
What?
Flip all your draft picks now? For Carson
Wentz. I think you can do that deal directly if you want. You don't have to do
give him a second.
Hey, Bill O'Brien, you don't have to do that. Okay. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. Victor Oladipo had something interesting to say. We'll talk about it on the other side. Let's do that on when we come back. But right now, I wouldn't want to talk about my hair. If you're on Twitch right now.
Did you just flip your hair?
I did.
Did you just whip it with your neck like you're.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what that was?
You know why? Because I can. You know why? Before, I'd have to look in there, and here's some hair. There's some hair. But Doc Linville, are you kidding me? Doc Linville is the best. Doc Linville made my hair long and flowing and beautiful, and it's got a ducktail to it now. It always has. I don't think the doc will put waves in your hair, but if your hair is naturally wavy, then this is what happens. Here's the deal, people. If you're looking for a great way to have hair, if you're tired of not having hair, then my brother, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com, and Doc Linville will show you the way. Neal grafting is so much easier than the other ones where they're, oh, my God, it's so painful and the blood and everything else. This way, I'm telling you, it is so easy. Fred was working that day. I was back at work on Monday. I did mine on Friday, back at work on Monday. Easy, 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 easy peasy. And all you got to do is go to 975hair.com and find it out for yourself. 975hair.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. A story out today, or yesterday, about Victor Oladipo. Apparently, he told ESPN's Eric Woodyard that he had no warning that he was going to be dealt by the Indiana Pacers. Now, he was taken by surprise upon learning of his trade to the Houston Rockets. I got traded 2 days later. It was therapy time, said Oladipo. They walked me through it. At the end of the day, everything happens for a reason. You just got to embrace change. At the end of the day, I didn't know I was getting traded. I had no inclination. I had no warning. I had no clue. So usually when things like that happen, it means someone else is in control, and that's my Lord and Savior. Well, that's the case anyway. But here's the deal. Wasn't he the guy that, now, whether it was true or not, because he denies telling people to trade for him. He denies it. He said, I know there have been people saying that I've asked players to trade for me. That's just not true, period. I love my teammates. I cherish the state of Indiana. I'm focused on leading this franchise to a title. He told that to Shams Charania. But his agent denied that as well.
More than
but
one
the Pacers, yeah. but he had 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah, I think, look, anytime you get traded, I think it's a feeling some guys are happy, but I think a lot of times guys, unless they directly, it's like, why do you not want me? Like, I think there is a sense for players that somebody didn't want them anymore, and they thought it'd be better if they moved them out. And even if he was saying that before, he's in control when he says, y'all come get me. And that's his little way of saying, you know, of showing his displeasure. But when somebody actually trades him, it's like, hey.
What happened?
And he turned down an extension from the Pacers when they offered, so he had to know.
He had to know. And I think he maybe wasn't happy it was Houston at first, but then he's been great in Houston. He's played well. You know, he's played fairly well, and I think he's fine here. And I think Houston may really work to keep Victor Oladipo, and I think they have a decent shot. I mean, they're going to have money, and all they have to do is convince him. I mean, if he likes some of the young guys who's with them, and John Wall. I mean, John Wall's not going anywhere, but Porter, Tate, Christian Wood, you have some young guys who are starting to emerge. Tate has been a really interesting find for them. Porter, we'll see what Porter's all about. Christian Wood is a good young player. Oladipo could be a good veteran. I mean, he's not a young player anymore. He's definitely a veteran. This is really, I could see where he is. I think the Rockets believe that they definitely have a good chance of re-signing him. They believe very strongly they can, because they know they can offer the money to make it happen. The question is, do you want to? Do you want to go in with Victor Oladipo? At this point, I would say, you know, I would say you're maybe leaning a little bit more towards doing that than not doing it, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
Christian Wood's contract is not that crazy.
When you're in the last year of your deal, you didn't sign the extension, it pretty much means you want to go where you want to go.
Yeah.
He probably wants to hit the market. That's fine. You know what? If it doesn't work out with Victor Oladipo, now you got a boatload of cash available. It looks like Rafael Stone is a pretty good eye for talent. He has, I mean, picking up Christian Wood the way he did, what he's been able to do so far, I'm impressed. You got the chance to talk to him, and he'll possibly be on the show sometime here in the near future.
Yeah, he wants to lay low, but yeah. I had a good conversation with him. I didn't know him at all, and I made a phone call, and he was open. You know, a lot of the stuff is off the record, so I'm not going to talk about it. But what I didn't know, this is what I did not know. You know, we talked about the fact, like, who is this guy coming from general counsel? Well, he was behind the scenes doing a lot of stuff. Like, he was involved with several of these moves. I mean, he had three. There's three guys, Monty, Eli, yeah. Rafael.
Eli Wittes is when I was talking to I had an off the record discussion with Tillman, and Tillman was I said, man, it looks like Rafael's pretty damn good. He goes, man, people don't understand. Rafael and Eli have been on every deal that Daryl has done.
I didn't know it. I didn't mean to offend Rafael. I don't think he was offended. I think he was a little surprised. I didn't really know who he was. He goes, yeah, you know, one of the things Daryl did that was great was, you know, he did this, but he didn't really shine any kind of light on the other guys who are out there. And Rafael's like, Eli is better than all of us.
Yeah.
At recognizing value.
Said Eli is really,
he's like,
really good.
Eli's ridiculous. Yeah. And Rafael, because I said, man, I'm just really surprised you were able to hang tight with the James thing. He goes, I did deals on Wall Street, you know, billion-dollar deals. And he said, doing a deal is doing a deal. You have to understand leverage. You have to have patience. And what he was talking about really made sense. If you understand what it means to have a commodity and a value on a commodity.
You're like Bill O'Brien.
No, not, exactly not like Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Like Rafael Stone. If you understand what you're – and like Daryl – you know, if you understand what your value is on a commodity, the first thing you have to do is have a value.
Mm-hmm.
So Deshaun, what the Texans have to do is, if they're going to really seriously consider trading Deshaun Watson, which I'm just going to go on the record, I'm completely open to that. If he doesn't want to be here and he's going to be unhappy, I see this as maybe a silver lining to the fact that maybe they can improve themselves much, much more quickly with a package. But you have to put a value on him. And if it's a team draft, if the San Francisco 49ers come to you and say, we want Deshaun Watson, well, your pick isn't going to be, I mean, this year's pick is a little bit better, but typically we don't anticipate your pick being all that great. You're going to be in the 20s and maybe the 30s. So if that's going to be the case, we're going to have a package that is, you know, the equivalent of a Deshaun Watson. I don't think you have to get stuck with, now the Jets, you would assume the Jets are going to be not great for a while. That has to play into future draft picks. The Dolphins, you would assume, okay, The third pick isn't even your pick. That's a Texans pick anyway. The 18th pick is yours, and we think that with Deshaun Watson, you're going to be in the 20s. So you have to know that going in, and you have to put a value on Deshaun Watson. You have to, and it can't just be a we need a lot of stuff. You got to actually sit down and say this is what our value structure looks like, and then you have to be the boss of this. Get two or three teams involved, leak whatever you need to leak, and get teams excited about making a trade. Just say, boy, this team's getting hot and heavy. Do whatever you have to do, and you say, David, we're going to help you. David Mulgeta, the agent. We're going to help you. We're going to get your guy out of here to a place he wants to go. We need a list of five teams, six teams, whatever the teams are. Deshaun will give a list. And then you start playing teams against each other, and you wait until you get your package. And I would not just make it picks. I would make it players, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But your whole roster's an absolute abject disaster. Yeah. So go get players. And by the way, you can't draft corners worth the crap.
Man. The Rockets got to be bummed. I mean, we start a whole segment about Rafael Stone. And
it turns
and
back in.
And it goes right to Deshaun.
I know. Well, because hey, Deshaun is the new James.
Can we get a little hate over here?
Deshaun is the new James, though.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, it's the situation is similar, only with a more likable guy.
Well, and they were able to work that out. Let's see if the Texans are. Let's get Sonny in here. He wants to talk about his Rockets. What do you say, Sonny?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just have a quick Rockets stop. There's one player on the roster who, when he's healthy, puts a learning trade, and he's in the lineup. We're 3-0.
I can't understand.
Mason New Mustang, Sterling Brown, Pony Up, basketball.
I heard Sterling Brown.
I mean, dude, we can't. Your phone sucks.
I couldn't understand. Hear,
yeah, I don't know if it's your phone or where you're sitting or standing.
He might be talking through his car speaker.
Possibly. He said something about Sterling Brown or health or whatever. That's all I could really
make out. I didn't understand a word.
That's all I could make out. Sterling Brown.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Sterling Brown.
He's in This Is Us.
Actually, you know what? Sterling Brown. I mean, Sterling Brown, Jashaun Tate. I mean, They haven't been bad. Sterling Brown actually stepped up, had 23 in one of their wins, and looked really nice.
I've been pleasantly surprised with Sterling Brown. I mean, it's not like he's not killing it, but he's giving you something off the bench right now, and he's averaging like 8 points a game.
These are a bunch of names that you're like, who? What? What's who's this?
No, but he is a younger, more athletic guy. The team is getting younger, which is the main thing. They just got. They got too old.
Yeah. No. I don't know what your question was, Sonny, if you want to call back or you wanted to tell Dell off the air or whatever.
Yeah,
but
just couldn't understand.
Your phone was just unintelligible. Let's, it's 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here, 713-780.
Yeah, Lee, do you know Sterling Brown is shooting 46% from three right now?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Nice. Sterling Brown.
Yeah.
A Sterling Brown sighting. Never heard. I mean, there's a bunch of guys. David Nwaba. Where did you find a David Nwaba? But okay.
Well, I mean, there's players. Just because the Rockets only deal for older players under Daryl, they didn't. You know,
names.
James. Who do you want? Does James know a David Nwaba? No.
No.
Does James know Sterling Brown? No.
He knows a Carmelo.
Yeah, I know Carmelo.
Yeah.
We don't hang out that much, but I know him.
Yeah.
James pretty much just hangs out with James guys. He's not one of those guys who hangs out with guys in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that?
Yeah.
James doesn't have his banana boat guys.
No,
James has got his own circle.
Yeah, he's got a
James circle. Keeps his circle tight.
Yeah. And it's mostly big booty. Mostly got big. If you ain't.
If you weren't married, you'd want the same. You'd want the same circle. Stop lying.
Well. Yeah. I mean, okay. All right. I'm not saying.
Hey, John, it's me, Chad. Look at my ass.
Oh, that's not what I want. That's not the booty.
That is not the booty I'm looking for. 742 ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 744 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Change the topic. Should the Texans be in the market for Earl Thomas? Lamont wants to know.
Yeah. no old guys. He doesn't do anything for you. He's had a hard time getting along in the last two places he was. Seattle and Baltimore both got rid of him.
No, he's
he
getting
was a problem in the locker room.
He's getting to the point where he's almost unemployable.
He's a liability more than he's a
yeah.
And this isn't a team that is, you know, a safety away or whatever. I mean, no, go try to find somebody young who is going to be a positive influence and.
You know, that's just a headache right there. That's yeah. all it is.
Yeah, go find somebody. There's if you trade Deshaun, there's a couple safeties I like in this draft. You can find somebody. You can find safeties. Just get better at your job. That's what I say. Get better at your job.
Lamont also said, I remember we wanted O'Brien by and I'd never, ever, ever remember anyone saying Bill O'Brien should
no
be the general
Bill
manager.
Bill O'Brien having control of the 53, which means he has final roster say. It doesn't mean he does trades, contracts, or even drafts.
No.
53 just means when it comes down to cut day, you can decide, you get the final, you have the authority to make the final decision.
Well, I remember not being a big Rick fan because of, you know, after the first round, he really sucked.
Oh, I wanted Brian Gain to, well, once Gain was hired, I wanted Brian Gain to buy the groceries. I wanted another person to buy the groceries. I mean, Rick had his run here. He had some good things. He had some not good, so good things. His time came to an end. It was time to move on. And when they got a GM, they just didn't stick with it. I mean, we know what ended up happening. I don't know if Brian Gain would have been the right guy or not. But, you know, it was irrelevant because they did the end around on him and got rid of him. And so now we have Nick Caserio. And frankly, people wanted Nick Caserio last year. We'll see what he does this year.
Yeah.
But it's awfully hard to focus on that and when you have Easter being Deshaun drama in the building. I mean, remember when these used to be a boring organization? I miss those days. I mean, they're a boring team. They're
you're
a boring team.
Boring
I,
yeah,
you're
watch.
Still boring as a team.
You're with still your boring to look
standard
at.
Standard everything that you've had for 20 years. And I get that.
All time in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, you're still a boring, corny team.
Now, can you play that? I miss it.
Why do you don't. Want to hear that?
No, you
I'd
don't.
Love to hear it.
You sure?
Because it sticks, because I like, and then when I go to sleep at night, I'm hearing Clay Walker
you
sing
be
football.
You want to be like Clay Walker to go
yeah,
to sleep?
Yeah.
That's not a good
well, earworm. It reminds me of Texas football. Puts me right to sleep.
Like right Hannah?
Sleep. Yeah.
You think she plays that to go to sleep?
Well, I mean... You watch Texans football, guess what? You fall asleep. Okay?
Is Deshaun Watson willing to lose his 2021 salary and sit? He has the extension already, though. I think it's $15 million for the season coming up on that year five. I don't think he wants to sit. That's why at some point the Texans are going to have to make sure they don't lose any type of leverage. But when you have a talent this good, I don't think you're really going to lose leverage. This is so rare. We were talking about it yesterday. Can you name a quarterback who wanted out, who was this good, who wanted out, and who got out at this stage of his career?
Not this stage.
I mean,
Carson Palmer is the
You can see it in basketball and baseball, maybe.
What, if the Texans want to play hardball, they say, okay, Deshaun, sit.
Yeah. We're going to get a good
which is another reason why they have to get other teams, Dell, that this you can't just, well, I want to go to Miami, and that's it. Yeah, we can't do a deal with Miami, so guess what? We ain't doing a deal with Miami.
Yeah, that's why the whole who has leverage, who doesn't, I keep asking that question because, it, like Lance pointed out, his agent certainly may want New York, but if Deshaun is clear, although from what we can tell, Deshaun doesn't like to be clear on anything, if he tells the world somehow, some way, Miami's a place, figure it out, kind of like what James even did it at first, I want Brooklyn, and then some other teams filtered out. You know what happened? He wound up in Brooklyn. So it might be that same thing. But
the Texans need to get on board with this at some point so that they can say, listen, don't leak who his top choice. You tell us who the choices are because you're going to make it harder for us, and we're not going to move Deshaun Watson if we're not getting a good deal. So if you want to get a good deal, we need you to stop saying these are his top choices and all this and that because you could end up limiting our ability to make a deal. Give us your list of teams where Deshaun will waive his no trade, and we'll go from there. That's what you do. At some point, you got to get on the same page and say, hey, enough of this throwing this to Mort and this to this guy. Yeah. We don't care who is top list of teams.
It's all everything around Deshaun is cryptic. Everything.
Because I got news for you. As much as you like Deshaun Watson, if you want to just be a Deshaun Watson fan, like a LeBron fan, and follow him wherever, go ahead. But for people who are Texans fans, At some point when the Texans say, okay, you want to make this happen, we're going to make it happen, then you need to be on board with the Texans having the opportunity to keep Deshaun and his crew quiet while they try to make a deal with the most leverage possible. Because rarely will you have, this is such a rare incident to have, this type of commodity under contract for the next 4 years where he's young and in his prime and coming off a huge year. You don't get opportunities to trade quarterbacks like that. Like, I don't even know what the asking price. I know one team I talked to said we would give 5 first-rounders for Deshaun Watson. But, you know, we just don't think that the Texans would trade him to us. But, and we don't know if Deshaun would want to come here, but we would give 5 first-rounders. Because if you put a name on those first-rounders and you say, would you trade these 5 guys for Deshaun, you'd go, oh, yeah. But when they're called first-round picks, you're like, wow, that's a first-round, 5 first-round picks. Well, what if you start saying, yeah, it's Titus Howard, and it's, you know, this guy, and all of a sudden you say, oh, all of a sudden they're not as valuable when you throw a name on them.
Right. He says Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler was not Deshaun
Watson.
Who says
Jay Cutler?
That was a guy that got traded in the prime of his career.
No, actually, that's pretty good, though.
Well, but he's not. Because
Jay was like 4 years. He was coming off a big year. I want to say 2 first. He was coming off a big year in Denver.
Yeah, but he was still Jake. He still had that Jay Cutler face.
Yeah, but Jay Cutler was a top 10 pick. He was drafted ahead of Deshaun Watson. Like, actually, that's a good one. I forgot about Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler was traded for Kyle Orton, first round picks in 9, 10, along with a third rounder in 2009.
Two first-rounders, a third, and a third. That's the starting point. So, okay. We'll take Tua, 3 firsts.
Now, are you telling me that Jay Cutler is the same value as Deshaun now?
No, I said that's a starting
point. Yeah. Jay Cutler is a quarterback in his prime, yes, all that stuff, but he ain't Deshaun.
Yeah, it's a different time, but 25 picks, 18 in 25 TDs, 18 picks.
He had 18 picks that year?
Yeah. The Bears were desperate.
But it was after 3 years, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he threw for 4,500 yards. Like, he was winging it around there. It was coming off an 8-8 season. He had been 2-3, 7-9, 8-8 as a starter. And, yeah, I mean, to get traded, that also told you what Denver thought.
Yeah, it wasn't like he asked to get traded to Chicago. He got traded because Denver was like, nah, beat it.
Yeah. No, this organization doesn't want to get rid of Deshaun.
Even with Chicago, he was never as good as he was in Denver. That was the best year. Holy crap. I take it back. No.
He had one good year with Gase, no?
He had a 27 and 26 year. His first year was, holy crap, Jay had 26 interceptions his first year in Chicago. 16, 7, 14. He had 13 touchdowns in 10 games. Yeah, I remember Jay being better than this.
Never.
Apparently,
not in Chicago, though.
I watched him up close for a year. Nah.
No, Chicago was right.
Nah. I was like, Chicago fan, you're overreacting. No, you weren't.
Nah.
He stinks.
Let's get Greg in here. He wants to talk about the Dolphins. Who doesn't, though? What up, Greg?
Morning, guys. How we doing? Hey, listen, I wanted to ask maybe what the Dolphins' perspective was. I mean, not that I care about the Jets. I mean, Dolphins fan, but what are the Dolphins looking at this like with it? They just brought in Charlie Fry to be, a quarterback coordinator or quarterback coach, and, you know, for Tua's development. So are they just lock, stock, and barrel on the number 3 pick and developing Tua, what is their interest level here from their side? And I'll hang up the listen. Thank you.
Well, I mean, Dale, I know you're the resident Dolphin fan, but I would think the Dolphins right now are having internal discussions, and they probably have already had these, about how much they believe in Tua. It's short term, but they see, you know, what goes into that is poise, work ethic, intelligence, football intelligence, how he's doing in the room, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that they have to evaluate. Mm-hmm. And there is nobody. You can't blame anyone for any organization for thinking Deshaun Watson is better than their quarterback. That's fine. And would Deshaun be an upgrade over their quarterback? Dallas could say yes, for example. You could argue that Arizona would say yes. Doesn't mean they're going to make a trade. But Miami, is in a rare situation where they're getting better much faster. And so I think Deshaun Watson would, because they have all that draft capital, that puts them in a unique position to even consider something like that.
Because the Dolphins haven't hired an OC, Miami people are trying to draw connections from their offensive assistant hires. Chan Gailey resigned, probably forced out because he wasn't great with Tua. They hired Charlie Fry. Charlie Fry's connection with Tua was they worked in Elite 11 camp together. Apparently Tua and Charlie Fry got along really well. Charlie Fry was the OC at Central Michigan, now the quarterback coach in Miami. So there's some thought that that was a hire strictly for Tua because of their relationship. Who knows what that means? But the OC will determine something. No one, they haven't hired an OC, so you never know. People, it's up in the air. And like I've said before, it was Deshaun and his people who put the Dolphins out there. The Dolphins haven't said a word, and they wouldn't because they have a young quarterback, so they're not going to say anything until a deal is imminent probably. We're not going to hear what the Dolphins' interest is. You just have to assume if Deshaun Watson is interested, they're going to be interested. And I see John is already getting ready to root for the Dolphins with that color shirt that he's wearing too. Mm-hmm. He's ready to.
I'm a Dolphin fan.
Are you going to follow Deshaun to Miami if he gets traded?
I am.
There?
I'm going to put a four on this shirt.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You're like one. You're a LeBron. You're like a LeBron fan. You follow Deshaun everywhere he goes.
I'm going to follow my guy.
He was your guy before the draft.
He
was your guy.
I was so excited to have Deshaun here.
Yeah.
Now
you can root for the Aqua New Orleans.
Well, he wants out. He doesn't want to be in Houston. I don't care anymore about him.
I get you.
No, I'm honestly.
No, I understand.
I mean, Deshaun is great, and Deshaun is I really don't want Cal here anymore either, if you want to know the truth. But
knowledge is power.
Yeah. I know something about you.
What did you say again?
I'd like you to trade the team, to sell the team.
What do you mean, I know something about you?
I know I want you to sell the team.
How much
That's what
has
I know.
Any owner had as much knowledge and as much power as Cal McNair?
As much knowledge and power?
Is knowledge power? Yes. Yes or no?
I don't know. We've been told knowledge is power.
I'm not sure about that whole knowledge.
We've
thing.
Also heard this from Cal.
Hoo-hoo.
Oh, wait, do it again.
That's.
That was the second one, too, wasn't
sure
it?
I'm not sure.
It was less modulated.
Yeah.
I heard the Bill Bryan quote before. I heard the knowledge is power. I've never heard that one before.
Oh, they had the Bill Bryan sound.
No,
you mean you heard? Yeah, you heard the sound.
No, when Cal was told that
we're going to do a good job with our head coach, Bill Bryan.
Hey, Cal, do you understand that Deshaun isn't happy and he wants out? Cal, you can't.
I swear I thought that was actually Cal.
I don't think that was him. I don't think that's him. I think you made that up.
Cal, what do you say to the fact that the Texans, playing an actual football game, put your wife to sleep?
Cuckoo.
Cal, you can't just keep answering questions like that.
Cuckoo. Here's what the Broncos got. Aaron sent this. Here's what the Broncos got for Jay Cutler. Robert Ayers. They chose him over Clay Matthews. They selected Alphonso Smith instead of Earl Thomas. And they also got Richard Quinn, a tight end.
So
that's the haul along with Kyle Orton.
And see, this is the problem with thinking that just because you get picks, who are the players?
Yeah.
Who are the actual names?
Right. Pro Football Focus has their mock draft up. We'll talk about it on the other side. 758 ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.